Okay, chapter 5. Still dealing with Solomon here. He's starting to build the temple, starting to get things together. And it says, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David." David got along well with Hiram. They did well together. It talks about him in Chronicles 2. In that place that he loved David. Some believe that he even might have gotten saved, but nobody's sure because the scripture doesn't tell us. But he loved David, and David certainly had favor with Hiram. But it says, "Solomon then sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house under the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet." David, you can't build, and remember we went through that. You can't build the house he wanted to. He talked to Nathan, the prophet, about it. And he said, go ahead and do what you want to do. But that night the Lord spoke to the prophet and told him, you can't have David do it. There's blood on his hands. But instead of being angry about that, David came to that place of just submitting to God's will and God's ways, and got blessed because of it. And it's interesting, he could have gotten bitter, but didn't get bitter. Instead, he got better, which is where we always want to go, because we know things are going to come against us. Things aren't always going to look as good as what we want them to look. But God has a plan, and sometimes he tells us, no, you can't do it. You need to sit down and just, oh, Lord, why? Why them and not me? But David, in that place of just showing us the right way to do it, the right way to go about it, is, Lord, thank you that I'm even involved in your kingdom at all. Thank you that I can still know you in the midst of this and still know that you love me. And that's hard sometimes when God tells us no, and it almost seems like a rebuke to us. Instead of feeling unloved, if we're standing on the Word, standing in the Word, we can know that we're still loved by God, even though he's not allowing us to do some things. And boy, that's hard to get out of the way, get the flesh out of the way, get our emotions out of the way, and just let God's Word be God's Word. And that is hard. It's a hard lesson to learn, but it's a good lesson to learn for us. So Solomon here just rehearsing that. And it's interesting. It says in verse 4 then, but now the Lord my God. So there's that personal relationship that's involved in this. It's not my father's God. He's my God. So there's that personal relationship that we need to have in there, that we want to have for each and every one of us. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it be great if we could say the same thing? It just seems like the enemy is so busy with us that we don't have that rest. But at the same time, the Lord does give that rest at times. It says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Paul speaking to the church there, well, pick it up at verse 17. He said, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence and not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." So Satan's in that work of hindering the work of the Lord, hindering the things that want to go on, the things that could go on. But at the same time, God is involved in just allowing it to happen for our good and for his purposes. So Paul had something else to do at that time, and that was okay. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says this, Then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria. That's a huge area that the Lord had given rest to for the churches. And there's a purpose behind it. And we'll see what that is. And it says here, and they were edified. So in that rest that was there, there was edification, there was building up. There's always a building up when there's a rest of God. And that's what we should do. So many, when there's a rest, we give up and just hunker down and get on the couch and just kick our feet up and just say, okay, this is great, this is wonderful, I'm just going to rest here, instead of building. We see Solomon, when there's rest all around him, he's building the temple. He's not just sitting down, just waiting for the next adversary to come, for the next thing to happen. He's building. And that's what we want to do in those times when there's not conflict, when there's not battles going on, is to be able to build up and encourage. And that's what we want to do in times of peace. That's what countries do after wars. When there's a time of peace, they build up their armaments again. They build up their defenses again. They do those things because we don't know when the next battle is going to come and how long it's going to last. So we need to have those defenses built up. It's not a time for us to sit back and do nothing. It's a time for the church to rise up. And I think that's one of the reasons the Lord gave America COVID, gave the world COVID. So that the church would wake up. We've had it too easy for too long. Even today at the hospital, when we went up to see Tom, and we were coming out, they were having a seminar in one of the rooms there on global vaccination. And it was just like,
and science versus non-science.
Yeah. And so we know the enemy is busy getting ready to attack. And they're even telling us, Klaus Schwab, just at the last forum, which was in Switzerland just a month or so ago, they were saying that the next pandemic that's coming is going to be 20 times worse and more deadly than the other one, but they could have the vaccine ready in 100 days. How do you know if you don't even know what the vaccine is? But all these things that they're planning to bring forth, the things that are coming, it's going to be more deadly, but they could have things ready in 100 days. But vaccine, for who? For the ones that are going to take it. And they know who's taking it, who's not taking it. They're counting, they're looking, they're knowing. Just an amazing thing, but in those,
I'll take this.
Yeah, I'm not taking that jab. I'm taking his jab. but just to be building up in those times of rest. So when we have times of rest, we need to dig into the Word, not lay back and just give in to our flesh, but to be busy about God's business because we don't know what's coming next and we don't know when. But we know that God is faithful. But we need to be busy about God's business. We need to occupy till He comes. And so the church is in that place. It says that they were edified and they were walking in the fear of the Lord. They were walking in it, that active verb, walking in the reverence of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. So it wasn't that it was a horrible thing that they had to do. They were walking in reverence of God and they were comforted by it. Just think if they just kicked back. They wouldn't know the edification. They wouldn't know the comfort. They wouldn't know how to be reverent to our God. And there's, again, where the church is, where many Christians are. We don't have a reverence for God. He's a good old boy upstairs. He's not a good old boy upstairs. He's holy. And He's God Almighty. He is not a good old boy that's our buddy that's going to sit down at the bar with us and have a beer with us. He's holy and righteous and true, and we want to keep Him in that place because that's where we get to know the real, true, living God. It's when we walk the way that He's walking. When Jesus came on the earth, He walked throughout the earth. He walked here. Oh, and that's where we need to